sung about yet is a precious new life that has come into our midst recently. And if we could get Daniel, Olive, and Alex up here right now. I think I've got the names right. I messed it up last week. But would you guys come up here just for a moment? These are some folks that have been with us recently, and they have a now 7-week-old little baby, and we are so thankful that they have come into our midst, and they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have found us and have started worshiping with us, and we are so thankful. And I want to present to you all a little blanket and a copy of God's Word. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did my best to find a blue New Testament this week, but they were out, so I'm giving you a pink one now, and I'm going to trade that out a little bit later, okay? But I got you a blue blanket, so but we do certainly want to present you with this morning. We want to just take a moment to pray God's blessing upon Daniel. I've got it right? Yep. Okay, all right. And we just want to thank God for this wonderful gift of life. So would you just bow with me, please? Everybody, let's pray. Father, I thank you for Alex and for Olive and, Lord, this precious gift of life that you've given to them. God, I lift up Daniel to you right now, God, I just pray that you would fill his life with your presence and with your love. And Lord, as he grows in stature, may he also grow in you. And we just present him to you, God, and pray that you would just use him in a mighty way to fulfill your purposes and to advance your kingdom in this world. Also, Lord, I lift up Alex and Olive to you, and just help them to be the parents that you want them to be, and Lord, that they would do everything that they need to do to see to it that Daniel grows in you. And we just thank you, God, for this precious gift of life, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right. God bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I got to hold him last week, but he was snoozing pretty good this morning, so I didn't bother him, but he is a cutie. If you get a chance to introduce yourself to Daniel, you need to do that, all right? The following proclamation was made by Governor Bradford in the year 1623, 3 years after the Pilgrims settled at Plymouth. And this is what Governor Bradford said. To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings. This Thursday is ye Thanksgiving Day. Yeehaw. All right. Hey, that's an amen. That's good stuff. That's funny. Yeehaw. One day in which we set aside, like those early pilgrims, a day to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for all of the wonderful things that He has given to us. This is altogether good for us to do this. This is a time when we pause from our busy schedules, from our hectic lifestyles, and get together as family and be thankful for what God has done. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with this. It's good. But here's the deal. And we've talked about this before in years past. And I want to elaborate on it a little bit more this year. Is that it shouldn't just be this one day. The Bible teaches us that it is a continual attitude. It's a daily thing for us to give thanks to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20 tells Christians to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so as we read these two passages of Scripture, we see that the main theme that Paul is talking about here is praise and thanksgiving. But we sometimes forget about those other words that are in there that say always and continually and in all circumstances. Now, it seems like Paul might be talking about a church service here, but he's really not. When we see this, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and make music in your heart, some entire movements have decided their worship service on that particular passage of Scripture, thinking that this is a mandate of what to do in a church service. That's not what Paul is talking about at all. He's talking about a continual attitude for Christians, an attitude that you have in your heart, how we are to be toward one another, and how we're to praise God for the people that he's placed in our lives and the things that he has granted to us. Now, you might be sitting out there and you might wonder, how in the world can I continually be thankful in all circumstances? Because there's been a lot of circumstances in our lives. Some of you are going through some things right now that you just really are probably having a hard time saying, oh, thank you, God, for this that's going on right now. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I believe the answer lies in what your biblical perspective is on Thanksgiving. We need to develop that biblical perspective. We need to have that proper perspective on what Thanksgiving is all about. It kind of reminds me of the young lady who wrote home from college, and she said, "Dear Mom, I'm sorry I haven't written sooner, but my arm has really been hurting me because I fell and I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second story of my dormitory when we had the fire at college. We were lucky that a young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in just a few minutes, and I was in the hospital for a few days. And Paul, the nice service station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get the dormitory remodeled and in shape to move in again, I went ahead and moved in with Paul. And he's been so nice. And I have to admit that I'm expecting now. And Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get divorced. And I hope that things at home are fine. I'm doing fine, and I'll write more when I get the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. Be thankful in all circumstances. We need this proper perspective on things. We need this proper perspective of our circumstances, this proper perspective of our God. And when we have that, that is only when we are going to be able to give thanks to the Lord always. Now, I believe that there are three attitudes within our own lives, I think, that we, even as Christians, are guilty of that keep us from being thankful. And here's the first one. That is our pride. I think our pride keeps us from being as thankful as we should be. This is the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything that I have for years. I've studied hard for years. I've worked hard, and now it's finally paying off. And this is the kind of attitude that someone has that says, we don't have anyone to thank but ourselves. And if we have that type of attitude, then it's going to rob us from thankfulness. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or constant complaining. Instead of being grateful, this person always finds something to complain about. Heard about a lady who was known as just an incurable grumbler. She constantly complained about everything. And one day her preacher finally thought, you know what, I found something that I can go praise her for, that she ought to be able to look at the bright side of things and be able to be thankful for it. And so he went to her house and said, ma'am, I got to tell you, your farm, your crop has been the finest of anyone else's this year. It's absolutely amazing. Said, you must be very happy because your potatoes, especially your potatoes, look absolutely amazing this year. And the lady said, yeah, true, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed my pigs? You know, there's just some people that can't look at all of the wonderful stuff without thinking about something negative. And if you have that type of attitude and if you have that type of perspective, you're never going to have the thankfulness in your heart for which God intended. Another thing that robs us is carelessness. That's another attitude that robs us of being thankful. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we'd probably stay out all night and watch them. But there they are every night, and we've grown so accustomed to them that we just don't really care all that much, do we? It's true. Look at how we responded over the supermoon recently, you know? It's the closest it had been, and I don't know how many years, somebody probably knows that, but anyway, a lot of years, and it was gorgeous, it was beautiful. I saw pictures all over Facebook, and it was just wonderful. You know, the Israelites, they were very well known for grumbling, weren't they? They were very well known for complaining. You know, they had no food. God miraculously sends manna to them every single day to cover the ground, every day except on the Sabbath. And they started to grumble because it was the same thing every single day. They had a miracle sent straight from God every day. But after a while, they were no longer satisfied. It wasn't good enough. And because of our pride and because of our critical spirit and because of our carelessness, I think sometimes we're never truly thankful like God would want us to be. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet, and we've enjoyed his writings for years. And unlike many of the older writers, Kipling was one of the few who had the opportunity to enjoy his successes while he was still alive, and he also made a great deal of money at his trade. And one time a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated that the money you make from what you write equals out to be $100 per word. And Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, really? I certainly wasn't aware of that. And the reporter cynically reached down into his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, gave it to Kipling and said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Why don't you now give me one of your $100 words? And Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, stuck it in his pocket and said, thanks. $100 word, isn't it? Actually, thanks is $1 million word. In fact, I don't even think we can put a price tag on how valuable thankfulness is. If we could adopt this attitude of thankfulness into our lives would be changed. If we could savor each day. If we as a nation could be thankful to God, grateful for His goodness, what a difference that would make. If any nation has the right to be thankful or should be thankful, it should be us. Amen? If anyone in this nation ought to be thankful, it should be Christians. Amen? But sometimes we're not. And this morning I want to give you three things we can learn about Thanksgiving from the Bible. Hopefully we can adopt those into our lives. Here's the first biblical truth. Thanksgiving should be expressed. In Psalm chapter 100, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. And David says in Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. And so we should express our thanks to God and we should express our thanks to others. In Luke chapter 17, we've heard the story several times. It's a popular passage of scripture, especially for this time of year, about the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. And one of those 10, only one, came back to thank Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He said, where are the other nine? This guy was the only one who was willing to go back and thank Jesus. And because of that, Jesus said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Well, that's interesting because he had just made all 10 of them well, hadn't he? Why was this one now being made more well, better? No. I think what Jesus was saying is, listen, for you, because of your thankfulness, it's not just about the physical healing, but I'm talking about a spiritual one. I'm talking about a mental one. You are now being made whole. And we too are made whole in Jesus Christ when we develop this attitude of thanksgiving. Someone put it this way, it's the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Selye, who is considered the father of stress studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. He says that a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. For you see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but also good for the receiver. And God appreciates our thanksgiving. God appreciates when we come to Him and praise Him with thanksgiving. It lifts Him up. It glorifies Him. I believe it endears us to Him. It draws us closer. And if we're not grateful, if we don't express our thanksgiving, I think, too, it can also have the opposite effect. Not only are there these wonderful things that happen when we express our thanksgiving to God, but when we don't, I think that can have an adverse effect on it as well. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." And this passage seems to apply that there is a direct correlation here between how we thank God and how our hearts can become hardened. Well, we see prideful people refusing to worship God, refusing to be thankful, and their hearts were hardened. And before we leave this point, I want to share a few ways that we can say thank you to God. Now, I don't know if Josh has got these on the screen or not, but I know they're not in your bulletin, but here are some ways. Spend time with Him, not just 1 hour a week, but genuinely spend time with Him. You also say thank you to God when you forgive others. When you serve in His church, that's a way to say thank you, God. When you share His plan of salvation, you're saying thank you, God, for saving my soul. When you reach out to hurting people, you're saying thank you, God. I think this week of giving Thanksgiving meals by our church is a fantastic way of us to say thank you, God, for all of your blessings. When you give God the best of your time, treasure, and talent, that's a way of saying thank you, God. And here's the last one. When you praise Him enthusiastically from the heart. Now, don't just come to church begrudgingly. Don't just show up because you feel like you have to be here. You feel obligated to be here. But show up enthusiastically ready to praise Him. That's one way that we can say thank you to God. So it should be expressed, and our thanksgiving should be expanded as well. And when we expand our thanksgiving outwardly, it's because of three things that I can think of. I know there's a lot more, but here are three I want to share with you. Thank God for the blessings of your life. You know? Now, I love my wife dearly, right? She's a very, very special lady. She is truly a blessing in my life. And one thing that is really special is that every evening, after supper, she stands in our kitchen and she thanks God for all of our dirty dishes. Now, you know I'm lying. Nobody does that. Who does that? Raise your hand. No, nobody does that. Absolutely. Who would? A sinkful of dirty dishes usually means, though, that we've been blessed by God enough to have food and drink, to have our bellies full and to have all of the liquids that we need so that we don't dehydrate. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every single night? When was the last time you thanked God for your dirty dishes? Our prayers are often very general. We say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. And that's okay. But what blessings are we really thankful for? We sang just a little bit ago, count them. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. You ever done that? You ever sit down and just wrote them out on a piece of paper and then just read them back to God? God, I'm thankful. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for that. Have you done that? I would encourage you to do that. That's more than just a song. I think that's a lifestyle. Our Thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life. And this is a tough one, and I just sang that song through it all just a little bit ago. And basically that song is alluding to this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. And you think, well, Paul must have surely made a mistake here, or it must have been easy for him to say, but it wasn't. It was difficult. Paul suffered from some very difficult problems in his life. You know? He talked about the thorn that he had in his flesh, and there's still all kinds of debate about what that is. We really don't know for sure, but whatever it wasn't good. And he'd been run out of town. He'd been beaten. He'd been whipped. He was imprisoned, betrayed by his friends, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, stoned, all because of his faith. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. Paul said several things that really show that he had the proper perspective on Thanksgiving. You know? The proper perspective on the burdens that we face in this life. This is what he said in Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 12:10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Philippians 1:12, we just talked about this not all that long ago. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. No? When we have the proper perspective, when we're able to develop the same type of attitude that the Apostle Paul did, that's when we're able to give thanks in all circumstances, in our weaknesses. God makes us strong when we're struggling. God is able to work in our lives. He helps us through those tough times that we could have never faced on our own. And you see, I don't think Paul is saying be thankful for all of our circumstances. We've talked about this before as well. You know? Oh, thank you, God, for the surgery that I have to have. Judy, I don't think you ever said that, did you? Thank you for this surgery. Thank you for this illness that I have had. Thank you for this situation. No, we don't have to say that. But in those circumstances, we can still find reason to be thankful. Paul is saying, you don't have to be thankful for your circumstances, but you can be thankful in them. Okay? And when we're thankful in those circumstances that we find less than desirable, that's when God is able to take and use that situation for His greater good. Remember the story of the Philippian jailer? He was ready to take his life. Remember that Peter and Silas, they had escaped from prison. They're singing praises to God and the earthquake comes. God helped them through the situation. And because of that situation, the jailer was ready to take his own life. But then, you know, he's thinking about the joy that Peter and Silas had. And he understood that others were able to experience this joy, and Peter and Silas were able to witness to this jailer and lead him to Christ in spite of the circumstances they were in prison. That's amazing. They didn't sit around and go, oh, woe is me for my horrible situation. They used it as an opportunity to give thanks to God and to lead other people to Jesus. Our Thanksgiving should also include the benefits of life. You know, the Israelites got themselves in trouble when they focused on what they didn't have rather than see everything that they did have, right? I mean, anybody ever been guilty of that? I know I have at times. We're constantly adding to our prayer list, but more than anything, we should be adding to our praise list. And I know we've gone through difficult times. All of us have. The Bible says we will. If you haven't yet, you're going to. Maybe even to the point where we despaired even of life. But if we look at all the benefits of life, I think we'll see that God's been pretty good, and God's been pretty faithful, and it's really, really good to be alive. There was an experiment that was done at Central Park in New York where an advertising firm dressed up a guy as a blind man and gave him a cup to go out and collect money in Central Park. And one day he had a sign around his neck that just said, "I'm blind." And on that particular day, he collected $4 in donations. The next day, they dressed the guy up the same way, placed him in the same place, but changed the sign that said, "It's spring and I'm blind." And they collected $40 that day. 10 times the amount just by saying it's spring and I'm blind. And what happened was those people who were not blind, they realized just how blessed they were to be able to see the beautiful flowers of spring and to see the birds and to see the sunrise and to see the sunset. And as Christians, there are amazing benefits in this life. We're forgiven. We're free from the chains of sin. And we're still living in the greatest country in the world, amen? In spite of all of the stupidity, and I'm just going to say that, stupidity that's been going on in recent weeks, we are still the greatest country in the world. And our thanksgiving should be expressed. And it should be expanded. And then also we learn that it's expected. Paul says we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for your life. God expects us to do this. And he knows if we will do it, that our lives will be changed. We won't be the same. And this is the mark for a growing Christian. It's a mark for a growing Christian. You know, babies are ungrateful. You ever notice that? They're not very thankful, are they? You know, you can take a baby when he has colic. You can walk the floor with him for hours. Will you put that baby down? Does that baby just look up at you and go, "Oh, thank you"? No. What happens? They start crying again usually, right? No. And more than likely, it's a little bit louder. They're just a little bit more mad. And a child has to be taught to be thankful. It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't just come with the package. I guess it's some assembly required, if you will. And sometimes you almost have to force a child to say thank you. We shouldn't be that way. As Christians, we should be very thankful. It's a sign of growing as a Christian. It's also the mark of a giving Christian. Not only is it the mark of a growing Christian, it's a mark of a giving Christian. When we realize just how much God has done for us and how much he continues to do for us, we should be more than happy to give to him what is already his anyway. He's just entrusted it to us. And this comes through giving of our time, and it also comes through financial giving. Someone put it this way, and I love this, that for thanksgiving to be real thanksgiving, there has to be thanks and giving. No. Thanks and giving. So it's the mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and a glowing Christian. If you're thankful to God, if you are truly thankful to God, you should absolutely be glowing. You won't constantly be critical. You won't be pessimistic, but you will be eternally thankful. And when you have that type of an attitude, there is a light that radiates from you. It's the light of Jesus Christ. And though the difficult times might be just that, they might be extremely difficult, they won't break you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, and not destroyed. And he goes on to say, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. We'll close with this as our musicians come. Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote about a very difficult time that he experienced in his life. And he said, I had received some sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. He said, I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the missionary's home that lived there these words that said, try Thanksgiving. He said, I did, and in a moment, the darkness was gone. Not to return. Because he knew, he learned firsthand that the psalmist was right. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, even during difficult times. And there might be some of you out there that are going through difficult times even as we speak. And maybe you've prayed and they're still there. And maybe you've even told yourself to keep going and someday it's going to get better, but it doesn't seem to get there. Have you tried being thankful? Have you tried Thanksgiving? I think we'll be amazed at how things can change in our lives when we develop the proper perspective on Thanksgiving. Maybe you're here today and you're thankful that Jesus went to the cross and he died for your sins, but you've never expressed that by surrendering your life to him. We want to give you the chance to do that right now. Maybe you're here, you've already done that, but you need to develop a better attitude about Thanksgiving. I would encourage you to commit to that right now. Maybe you're here and you want to be prayed with either here in the front or in our prayer room. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And if there's a need that you have, we encourage you to come during this song. Let's pray together.